Hi, everyone. Greetings. St. Simon's Presbyterian Church. Wow. I can just look around and just, you don't know how happy my heart is to see so many of you friends and to think about the cloud of witnesses that sat in the pews before you, who I'm picturing in this very moment as well. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'll share more personal remarks as we go along, but let's turn to the scripture, Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Listen for the word of the Lord. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what God had promised. This is why, quote, it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, quote, it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to new life for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, silence in us any voice but your own, that listening we may hear your word, and hearing it do your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, I do thank Reverend Steve Goyer for reaching out a few months ago and inviting me to find a date that I could come and be with you and fill the pulpit. And this is the weekend of our Presbytery's Faith Enrichment Conference at Epworth by the Sea. So having already been down here the last night or two, it seemed like a good Sunday to take. So I thank the session for approving my stepping into the pulpit. And you might, those who know me, you might find it hard to believe that it has been 17 years since I preached a sermon to you. And I know that because our youngest child is 17, and that was why I had to step away. But I do look out, and of course, to go back to 1999, I have so many faces that I could see. I know exactly where they used to sit, and I'm thinking of them, that cloud of witnesses, people who used to sit next to you in the pew, who are not here anymore. You who have filled the pews, who I haven't yet met, I know you are doing wonderful things here, and I hope that we will become friends. Thank you for the continued support of this wonderful church, this very special church, not only here in St. Simon's and the Glenn County community, but in the Savannah Presbytery. I also just want to celebrate with you the church being flush with children. We were back here, and Audrey leaned over and says, I have to watch the live stream to see how many children are down there, because we can't see from back here, but I know there are throngs of them. And I just delight in the sanctuary, the beautiful lights flowing in, and the gathering spaces that you've created, and the art. It's just a beautiful setting, and there's a happy energy here, and congratulations for your hard work to accomplish this. While I am saying some thank yous, I do also want to call out a group of people that really set the course for my life, and that is the Associate Pastor Nominating Committee of 1999. This group of people received my letter of interest while I was a senior at Austin Presbyterian Seminary. They flew me here to St. Simon's and with my husband Joey to interview, and then presented my name to the congregation to be called as your associate pastor. And truly, for them, I don't know exactly what path this life would have given me. So let me just say their names. Some of them were here at the earlier service, but I see Ben Hartman, and Sally Miles was at the earlier service. I see Catherine McCrary, Jimmy Bishop, Bill Elias, may he rest in peace, and Jenny Grodecki, who actually soon moved to Florida after I arrived. But I just pray that God will continue to bless you all, and thank you. And bringing up the PNC, I do want to acknowledge the PNC that is active now. I know that is a challenging work. The committee shared with me, or I at least found out along the way, that I was not necessarily their first choice. So I can tell y'all that have patience. It all works out in the end. Sometimes doors open and sometimes doors close with candidates of interest. And it's discouraging at times, but keep the faith and keep doing what you were asked to do. And congregation, keep believing in God's working through them, so that they feel that support. It's really faith that God wants to see working in us. Our ongoing faith through challenges, through hardships, especially when we feel so ill-equipped for them, is keeping the faith in those times that God gives us credit for. It's really not doing things to perfection. It's not making sure we do every one of the 10 commandments without fail, for as the scripture says, there would be no need for grace if everyone could follow the law. With Father Abraham as our model and Sarah, we learn that keeping faith is actually what gives us credit with God. And living on God's credit, and living on credit isn't always the best thing in our earthly life, but in God's kingdom, living on the credit of righteousness is a lifestyle that we can't afford. It's the lifestyle of faith that puts us as those descendants of Abraham. Faith in God, and for Christians, faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, is what makes us children of Abraham, makes us right with God. As Laurie shared and that we've heard in the scriptures, Abraham kept faith for 99 years, expecting that promise to be fulfilled, to be a father of nations, father of kings. He never wavered, and even actually we saw his faith grow over the years and the stories, believing, hope against hope, that promise of God would be fulfilled. When we keep faith in the promises of God, we stand with God. In the promise of baptism, which we've said our children were baptized here, many of yours, we say that God claims us and that to him we will always belong. Can we keep faith in this baptismal promise when we watch a baptized child or a loved one or even ourselves struggling to find peace within, and perhaps even disconnecting from God or others. Having received the promise from Jesus that he is going ahead of us to heaven and is preparing a room for us, can we set aside our fears about taking risks in this life and find the faith and the courage it takes to do hard things for people to make their lives more like the kingdom of God? Having heard the prophet Jeremiah tell the Jewish exiles sent to Babylon to keep the faith, because in 70 years you'll be returned to Jerusalem, can we keep the faith when our lifestyle or our relationships or our health are upended? Can we continue to believe that God's intentions in leading us through a dark time are not for our harm, but are in fact to give us a future and a hope? Every day I am waking up hoping that I'll have this kind of faith to see me through another day. And I'm encouraged by my colleagues that I work with in the Savannah Presbytery, who are very committed to keeping the faith for the sake of our congregations and the ministry of Savannah Presbytery as a whole. I work now with congregants, about 3,400 congregants in the churches of Savannah Presbytery. That's 33 churches in Savannah Presbytery here in the southeast corner of Georgia. We have more than 60 ministers who are active and retired, who keep their membership with us. And their faith in God's work through congregations empowers me, emboldens me to keep showing up for the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm doing it in a hard to explain job that doesn't get quick. I can't give a quick answer for it, but in addition to what Lori shared, so the director of administration, the stated clerk, the head of staff, and the recording secretary. So lots of different hats to wear, but a typical week includes maintaining files, files of our presbytery business, files about property transactions. We are pleased to report that upon the unfortunate closing of one of our churches in Pooler, Christ Presbyterian, the property was able to close as a sale, and the presbytery will net $1.7 million for this property. And it gives us an opportunity to dream and to wonder, can we perhaps take advantage of the establishment of the Hyundai plant in that community, as thousands upon thousands of people are expected to be moving into that community to join that company? What would that mean for church development? So that's one of the things I do. I staff committees that help ministers come and go, as you've experienced. I approve travel expenses and other reimbursement forms, so people like Rick DeLise, who is the pastor at St. Mary's, but he's also a director in the presbytery to care for churches and pastors. And he has come to work with the session and the PNC to help them in the process of calling a new minister. I've also stayed busy with educational programs and whatever we can do and develop to make sure people in the pews who want to learn more about Presbyterianism and our form of government and our theology can find ways to be equipped. Even here at St. Simon's, in the midst of the transitions that you all have experienced, in the midst of vicissitudes of life and the comings and goings of health and change of fortune, really, this church has continued to show that it is grounded in faith. And I see the session, I see the staff and you, the congregation, keeping the faith for the church in its future. And I have known you and loved you in Savannah Presbytery as your pastor, But now from a different perspective, and as the stated clerk, one of the things I do is keep data on all of our churches and submit that to the denomination. I like to help the congregations have a picture of themselves within the context of the other churches. I know you as active, creative, mission-minded, talented, and you are also the largest congregation in Savannah Presbytery by about 250 members. You have 680 or so members, and the next largest is First Presbyterian in Savannah, which is where our family worships, where Joey and the children are members, and I sing in the choir, thus my joining the choir earlier. There are six churches after that that have between 100 and 275 members. After that, there are 25 churches that have less than 100 members. And of that group, there are 14 that have less than 40 members. So another way to put that is 75% of the PCUSA churches in Southeast Georgia have less than 100 members. So that helps you to see what an anomaly this congregation is because of your membership size, but also because having a large membership and because of the location, you have the largest budget, the largest endowment, the largest staff, the most officers. So it shouldn't surprise you that you are the most generous congregation in the Savannah Presbytery, and for that, I thank you. Your contributions are touching so many aspects of ministry that are certainly helping a broad range of our congregations who can't find the resources to even fix a broken window or to do very simple things that we take for granted. The faith that St. Simon's Presbyterian has had in the ministry of Savannah Presbytery keeps making an impact. And I'd like to tell you, walk you a little bit down memory lane about the history of the presbytery and St. Simon's Presbyterian Church's role within it, because it's quite significant. For 40 years, the presbytery office was just down the road on Darien Highway. And we had the leadership of a gentleman named Reverend Dick Bass, and he was a visionary and started many programs. And these were often administered by his wife, Mary Bass, who was a stated clerk here in this congregation. The Faith Enrichment Conference that we just held is one of those, the School of the Laity, as well as his chapter being the time that $1 million was given to the presbytery by a gentleman named M.K. Pentecost, so that grants could be offered to ecological purposes and research. And this church has continued to stay involved and be a leader in that. And I'm proud that Bain Head here in the congregation is the director of the School of the Laity. And I've just learned that Catherine McCrary is the new chair of the M.K. Pentecost Ecology Fund. Following Dick's tenure as executive presbyter and stated clerk, a very esteemed pastor of this congregation, Reverend Dr. John Law, who's room you've visited, I'm sure, for meetings, and who I noticed today has graced us with his presence in the back. John and Ann, welcome. It's so good to see you. After Dr. Law's service, the position was held by Reverend Dr. Carl Schlisch, and Carl's wife, Carol Ann, was a member here at St. Simon's who helped found the Stephen Ministry Program. And though my colleague, Reverend Bob Brearley, never was a staff member, he was the biggest cheerleader for summer camp. And he, one of the first things I knew that would be required of me would also be involved in summer camp to assist him. And that was my first step into presbytery work. And look where it's gotten me. So that's a good thing. But in 22, the presbytery sold that office, and so now we are a virtual organization, and there are three directors instead of an executive, and we live in various places: St. Mary's, Savannah, Wilmington Island, and we have a treasurer in Statesboro. So you can imagine that we do a lot by Zoom, and we're very high-tech, but we have a really good time doing what we do. And you have people who continue to support us. Bonnie Roberts on personnel, Leslie McGracken on the council, Linda Nelms, the School of the Laity, and Tate Simpson with the MK Pentecost Committee. And just to help me know some of your involvement, I'm going to name some things, and if you've been a part of them or sent a child to them, stand up for me. So, Faith Enrichment Conference, School of the Laity, the MK Pentecost Ecology Committee, a commissioner to a presbytery meeting, served on a committee of the presbytery, been to camp as a counselor or a camper. Anybody? Anybody? Very good. We've got some work to do, folks. We need to get y'all signed up. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your participation. You may be seated. And let you know a bit of a snapshot of what the working in presbytery work would look like, I'd like to just give you a snapshot of people that we come in contact with in our Presbyterian churches. White, Black, Latino, Asian, immigrant, people who are still living in their community of birth, people who are immigrants, community leaders and Rotary Club members, and nonconformists, and people in the LGBTQ community, people of all ages and various outlooks, people who like to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God, and others who would like us to stop talking about all that social justice stuff and just keep the doors open for Sunday worship. So broad spectrum of people, but we come together because we are a connectional church and we believe that we're stronger together. I think that building community through the church, building the body of Christ is worthwhile. And I think it will always be a project worth trying, giving our best. There's a promise, as we talk about promises that God has made, there was a promise that Jesus made to his disciple Peter in the Gospel of Matthew, when he said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it." Standing on that belief in the promise, for another day I'm going to hold on to God's promise that the church of Jesus Christ will continue, that this church of Jesus Christ will continue to flourish, and that we will all be blessed and granted that credit with God. For there can be never a better investment than that. Friends, keep on keeping the faith, and thank you for your hospitality today. Let us pray. God of our father Abraham, you have given us an example of one who believed in you despite having to wait so long for your promise to be fulfilled. Strengthen our resolve to keep the faith when we see doors closing to opportunity, bodies failing in their strength and agility, peace broken by the shouts of those who would do harm. As we walk through this season of Lent, we commit ourselves again to following our Savior Jesus Christ, who did not falter in his faith, and in his death and resurrection opened the door for us to be free. We praise his holy name. Amen.